gentlemen, and welcome. Welcome to another 8 o'clock edition of Bantering the Blue Shirts. In the red corner, weighing 4,400 pounds, it's Adam Herman.
Slight overestimation, but I don't know.
In the, what did I say, the left corner or the red corner?
You said red,
I don't understand boxing. Although I will attempt to watch the McGregor-Mayweather fight because I think McGregor is going to win that fight, and I'm curious.
Really?
I do.
You sound like an expert on the subject.
Yeah, you do. I feel as though Mayweather has made a boxing career out of knowing how to not get hit. And I think Mayweather is essentially a weapon. I think the problem is going to be Mayweather is so used to using an entire half of his body that he's not permitted to use against Mayweather.
You mean McGregor.
That he's not permitted to use against Mayweather. But I think if he just opens Mayweather up, it is going to be over relatively quickly. But that's my two cents on that. I don't know if either of you want to add anything. This is technically a Rangers podcast, so we should probably... we could talk about UFC and boxing and whatnot. Who cares?
I love that it took you all of literally 10 seconds to get sidetracked. Like, you could not even introduce Mike without getting sidetracked.
That's true. I didn't introduce Mike at all, and he will now not be introduced.
I've gotten used to this by now. It's just kind of what we do.
It's interesting. Anywho, this show is brought to you by the good folks at Patreon, who we are requesting please pay money to make this show more ridiculous. Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, Dan Lynch, Eric Cohn, Daniel DeGem, Nat Bader, George Littman, Guy from Montana, Andrew Grigo, John Reppy, Stink Fleeman, Trevor Kempner, Dan Carozzi, Zachary Zetlin, Arch Williams, Alexander Thornton, Igor Zatlowski, Thomas Osa, and Michael Silvers. Thank you all for donating and allowing us to purchase.
That's the best guy from Montana.
It allows us to purchase microphones that we could talk like this. How amazing is this?
All the other guys from Montana, nothing.
We have lots of things to talk about tonight, mainly prospect things. Adam did his, he is our Blue Shirt Panther prospect connoisseur who does his bi-yearly prospect rankings. And these summer rankings are much better than they've been in the past because it seems like the Rangers have an actual farm system. But before we talk about any of those, we need to talk about the very, very sad Jaromir Jagr, who for whatever reason cannot get a job in the NHL, is considering European offers. I think most advanced stats metrics consider him still a first-line player, despite his speed. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on the magical Jaromir Jagr. Mike, you can go first.
Well, I know Adam has a lot to say about this, so I won't get into too much detail, but... Yags is a tricky thing, especially I think for Rangers fans, because we naturally have a huge affinity for Jagr because he was so instrumental in, you know, post-lockout when the Rangers finally got their crap together. And it was very weird watching him go to the KHL and weirder watching him play for the Devils and Flyers and all that. But he's now reached this kind of status where he's everyone's favorite player. And the problem I think that he's facing, or at least I know it was one of the main reasons in Florida, they have the new coach there. His name escapes me at the moment. I know he was a former defenseman and a tough guy, but I don't remember his name. I think Buffner, I think. I don't know. Or Botterill. He still puts up points and he's still top power play unit caliber, but, he's not fast anymore. You know, he's going to be 46 years old in February. It is an interesting thing seeing Jagr still out there, and particularly Vanek. And obviously we saw Markov eventually sign in the KHL. But we also saw Mike Fisher retire. I think we talked about that last podcast. But I think it's harder and harder for when you get this late in free agency for teams to keep their mind open about adding a guy like Jagr, because, you know, Jagr's not going to want to sign a one-year, $1 million contract. He's going to want to play you know, either on a good team in a scoring role, even if that's the third line, or play a prominent role on a team that's, you know, not awful. I would like to think that there's room for him in the NHL somewhere. I know that a lot of people have kind of tried to find a home for him. Even, you know, a month ago or so, I wrote an article about potential landing spots for him. And, you know, I talked about, you know, Nashville would be a fun fit. And, you know, Vegas makes all the sense in the world, or going back to Pittsburgh. But, you know, this late in the offseason, there's a lot of questions of cap space and where the heck he fits. I hope he signs somewhere. But there is, of course, the option of he goes to play in the Czech league and then he just, you know, keeps his phone on him in case a team gets an injury in the top six and they need a replacement.
Yeah, I honestly would not hate it, Ranger signed Jágr, not because he fills a particular need on the team, but even at this advanced age, yeah, he's not the player he once was. And the player he once was, you know, at worst, the top 10 player in NHL history. You know, I would argue top five, at least among forwards. So he's not the same player, no, but no, very few players in the NHL right now are the same player he once was. So he's still, you know, even for him, a fall drop in production or whatever is still, you know, second line ability. That's still, you know, quality player. Do I think he fills a massive need for the Rangers? No, but he's that good that, like, if you can grab him for 1 year, the Rangers have cap space, especially if they move Nick Holden, they have the cap space to sign him. You know, why not say to him look, like, we're going on an honor system here. Like, if this isn't working out midway through the year, like this is the only condition in which we're going to sign you, is that, like, if this doesn't work out, like, midway through the year, like, you'll accept and move back to Europe so that we can absolve ourselves of the situation. And I think, you know, if you're Jágr, compared to what else is going on, like, I think he would take that, a return to New York, a chance to play for a contender. And if you trust in your abilities, which I think he does, then it's a, you know, what does it matter? So I think for the Rangers, why not? They have cap space sitting there. There's, you know, unless a center, you know, falls right into their lap. And yeah, fine, yeah. Fair enough. But if that's not happening, like, you don't get bonus points in the standings for having free cap space. You might as well use it. And so I don't see why it would be a terrible idea to give him a year, move Miller to center, and, you know, play Jágr on the wing.
Adam, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have... Because on paper, I definitely don't hate the idea of Jágr on the third line. I mean, a couple of podcasts ago, I was talking about how much I wanted Vanek in that spot. But, you know, I think in many ways, Jágr will come much cheaper. But do you have any concerns about the issue of, like, team speed and the fact that Jágr might take away from that? Or is that kind of balanced out just by what you think he can do in terms of just the power play presence and just, you know, like his ability to hold on to the puck, even at this age, is just unbelievable. And if you put him with a couple of gophers like Miller and, you know, guys who can skate around and hustle for pucks, it should work out.
Yeah. I don't, you know, his skating is not great anymore, but, you know, it's not like this guy is struggling to get up and down the ice, you know?
Yeah.
The Panthers played a pretty up-tempo style last year, and he was one of their better players. So, is he going to be the fastest player on the team? No, but, you know, I think you look at a lot of the players the Rangers do have, especially now with the defense, as quick as it is, you know, I think the positives outweigh the negatives there. I think you got a guy who, you know, can score goals, can pass the puck really well, would be a good voice in the locker room, and puts up really strong possession numbers. Am I going to deny all that just because he's not super quick anymore? No. I think the Rangers have enough speed on the wings and on defense that you can deal with that. And I think it was kind of the same thing when the Rangers had Marty St. Louis, right? Like, end of his career,
yeah.
He wasn't exactly, you know, fastest guy anymore, but he had decent enough speed. And, you know, the Rangers didn't need him to be the guy, you know, that he once was. He was just kind of another cog, you know, another piece in the cog. And so, you know, if you play Jágr, you know, you limit his minutes, you play him on the third line, give him power play time. You know, you can rest him on back-to-backs even maybe. I don't think it's a concern. I think could something go wrong? Yeah, something can go wrong with any player. You know, so in terms of risk reward, I think why not? Why not take the chance?
I'm almost of the mind that if the Rangers, so we've, I guess maybe not discussed at length, but discussed the potential of moving Miller to center as something that the Rangers, like a road the Rangers may need to go down, because ultimately they don't have a ton of center depth, and people don't know if Desjardins is going to be a good enough third line center. But I am almost absolutely okay with moving Miller to center if Jágr is on his wing, because as much as Jágr's speed might be beneficial there, you are getting a player who's good in the possession game and a player who can make things happen. If we're going to move Miller off of his comfort zone, and I wrote an article this week about the Rangers' current center situation, and with losing Stepan's 55 points worth of offense, it does not make a ton of sense to take Miller, who is one of the Rangers' more consistent forwards in terms of the regular season, and move him out of his sweet spot and out of his comfort zone because he gave you 56 points last year. But I would be willing to do it if you had a guy like Jágr on his wing who can, for the most part, help him do what he needs to do and give him a little bit more stability than he would have maybe with some of the other wingers that the New York Rangers have. It's a total reversal of where the Rangers were at this point last year, where we had no questions about the forwards, maybe outside of the way that they were going to be utilized, but we had a ton of questions about the defense. Now it's the exact reverse. So I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. I think Jágr might have a little bit of an issue with the up-tempo system that Vigneault uses and the Rangers like, but ultimately the speed, if the speed is coming from other wingers, that would help a lot. If you have Miller and Grabner with Jágr, I don't think that's a line that other teams are A, not going to be able to take seriously, and B, I don't think you're going to be overly worried about Jágr, because by the time Grabner breaks into the zone or by the time Miller does what he does, Jágr's going to have time to come in and do what he needs to do. So I think if the Rangers really, and like Adam said, and we've talked about this before, just because you have cap space doesn't mean you need to use it. And I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer in having flexibility as you go through the season. But a one-year deal for a guy like Jágr that carries no risk, that's not the same thing as saying, oh, I guess we'll give, you know, Vanek a three-year deal, or I guess we'll give Winnick a three-year deal, or whatever type of, maybe you make a trade for a guy who has a few years left on his contract. So I think there are differences there. I would not be opposed to the Rangers doing something like that. Adam, you had a thought?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's interesting, like, the concern with Jágr's speed. Like, how many forwards are there in the NHL who can't skate, you know, anyway? Right, and teams are happy to just stock their third lines with these guys, you know, like big guys who block shots and, you know, check and whatever, and like that's fine. Like, we can sacrifice speed there, but, you know, it's a concern if one of the greatest offensive players in the history of hockey, you know, isn't so quick anymore. That's where we draw the line. It's just, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me that you would, you know, draw the line there with Jágr. Great players like him. We saw it with Messier, we saw it with Martin St. Louis, you know, plenty of others. Once the legs go, they can compensate for it with their ability to think the game through, and he's one of the best that there ever was in that respect.
Mike, you had a question, I believe.
I think that's a great point, Adam. There's definitely something to be said about the case of optics and the perception of, you know, he'll be 46 in February. He's not skating past people, but I don't think he's ever really had to do that to be an effective player. I think what makes it interesting for the Rangers is that third line last season was really defined by its, but that doesn't mean, you know, it can't be defined by something else and still be successful or even more successful, especially in terms of possession. But the question I actually had to pose to both of you is, you know, if we do see Jágr eventually sign in the NHL, do you think it'll just be, you know, it's almost certainly going to be another just, you know, a one-year deal, just because I think it's kind of, he's just punching his ticket year by year now at this point. But, you know, where do you think the cap hit or the average annual value will come in on that contract? Is he, you know, worth like $3 million in terms of, you know, pushing the limits of what the Rangers have in cap space, or do you think he could be had for less?
Yeah, I don't know. I think $3 million sounds about right, but I think you can also, you know, use performance bonuses. The downside of that is that if he hits those, you know, then it counts against next year's cap. Those bonuses carry over and hit next year's cap. But, you know, if you're saying to Jágr, like, look, we'll pay you $2 million up front, and then here's $1.5 million, $2 million bonuses, and like go out and earn them. I don't think he can complain, because if he's worth the money, then he's gonna earn it anyway. And if he's not, then he's not worth it. He's not worth it. So I think you kind of hit it that way. And from the range, you know, if you're a Rangers or any other team, right? Maybe not a team like Chicago, that desperate for the cap space or whatever. But almost any other team, you say like, look, like if we have this cap hit carrying over to next year, then like it's a good thing, because it means that, you know, this player we signed hit the goals that we wanted him to hit, you know, so that's a good thing. So I think with the right fit, he'll sign for, you know, $3 million, maybe four to top. Because I don't think he, at this point, I don't think a few hundred thousand or whatever, especially once you factor in taxes and such, I don't think a few hundred thousand is going to be the difference between him, you know, playing in the NHL and then or not. I think he wants to play in the NHL, and if it's the right fit, he's going to go with it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And I'm not sure. It kind of depends on the the way that he's signed, I guess, if that makes sense. Because if you, like Adam said, you can sign him to a one-year deal with, you know, performance bonuses, or you could sign him to a deal where it's like this bargain bin. If he just wants to play in the NHL, let's do it. And Mike, I think you brought up a really good point that Vegas not being in on him is kind of insane, because you'd think that they would ticket sales, but you just want the veteran presence. You just want the opportunity to have a guy like that in the locker room for all the youth that team has. And ticket sales is a big one too. Honestly, you need what at this point in the game, I don't think there's a bigger star out there in terms of longevity than Jaromir Jágr. I mean, yeah, you have your Crosbys, you have your Ovechkins, you have genuinely dominant players in the NHL, but Jaromir Jágr is the guy that, not that they don't know about Ovechkin and Crosby, but he's so damn likable. There's very few people who don't like Jaromir Jágr, and I think a lot of people would watch him be the face of Vegas. Now, does he want to go to Vegas? Who knows? It looks like he is sitting around for an NHL option, but I don't know. I really don't. But I would love to see him stay in the NHL. I mean, it is miraculous to think about his career. You're talking about a guy who has spent so much time in the NHL. He spent 3 years after his time with the Rangers in the KHL too, and now he's back again since 2011. It's just an insane amount of hockey for a guy who's 46 years old. He has
1,999 points. Yeah, I was just going to say, he had 99 points in the season that the Rangers won their last cup. And that was his fourth season in the league, to give you an idea of how long this guy's been around.
Yeah. I was born in 1988. He was in the NHL 2 years later. It's ridiculous.
It's not
really. And if you look at his, like, I don't know if he would hit it this year. I almost bet he wouldn't. But if he plays two more years in the NHL, he's going to reach 2,000 points. You can't even fathom. You really can't. That's more time than I thought we were going to spend on Jágr, but goddamn it, the man deserves it. He really does. He should have an
Jágr
NHL job. I think it's ridiculous that he doesn't. It's absolutely It's a joke. Now we turn things over to Adam, who did things like prospect stuff.
So
I guess we have a couple. We have a couple of questions we want to throw at you. But is there anything you want to say about the prospect rankings that you did, or any thoughts that you want to talk about? Since you're kind of the ringleader on this one.
I don't know. I wrote 25,000 words. I was kind of hoping that would be enough, but I don't know. I do think I do have a mail.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you for a minute. So I'm on Yager stats just because I was looking up, trying to look up how many points he had. And I wish I knew, and I'm going to research why this is the case, but he played a game for the like third tier Germany league.
Yeah.
And he had a goal and 10 assists in the game.
Yep.
I know
during the lockout year.
No,
yeah,
I don't
during the
95. Was it during the lockout
95
year?
Lockout. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that,
yeah, that was the lockout
year.
You're right.
Oh my God, what a game. You know what's most impressive about that? It wasn't even him scoring. It was him so good that he made other players good because he had 10 assists.
Yeah, right.
He had one
goal.
Yeah,
he must have just been having
assists.
A ball.
Oh my God, I would pay money to get a tape, to get my hands on a tape of that game. Oh my God.
Berg.
All right, I'm sorry, Adam.
Gelsen Kirchner EC.
You wrote lots of words, and
yep.
You hoped that would be all.
And then Joe interrupted
needed.
You. Yeah.
I don't know. I will say I do still have the mailbag and that I need to finish up and publish. I said I was going to do that earlier, but in typical me fashion, got delayed by just life and whatever. So I'm still going to publish that. So look out for that. But otherwise, I think I was kind of looking at the Rangers after I finished it. I was kind of looking at the Rangers system compared to the rest of the NHL, because I think a lot of people want to know ultimately where do they stack up against everyone else. And my answer is that it's better than I thought it was, but still not great. I think they're right around maybe if you're ranking all NHL teams in terms of the prospect pool, I would put the Rangers around 20th, maybe 29, anywhere somewhere between like 19 and 22, which isn't great, but you have to start somewhere. And I would have put them, maybe 29 last year, 28th at absolute best. And that would be an argument. So to jump up that much without even, usually if a team's jumping up like that, it's because they sold off a bunch of assets at the trade deadline, had a bunch of draft picks. Because they're kind of rebuilding. The Rangers are rebuilding on the fly. So to make that kind of jump in the prospect pool, and they did it purely through signing free agents and, a trade that effectively resulted in what was really kind of just realigning cap space. Derek Stepan, that wasn't a trade, that was a sell. That was just restructuring. So to completely redefine the look of the prospect pool like that and jump up above so many teams without even, really sacrificing much in terms of the team standing, I think that's a pretty remarkable job.
All right, so I guess I'll start with my first question, because I imagine that it's just going to be me being really annoying and asking you, because I know you just poured hours and hours into this, or hours and hours, I should say.
Hours and a single hour.
Like butter
off
the back,
hours and then one final single hour into it, which is probably accurate.
You know how often I make mistakes compared to you?
Often?
I almost called you a whore, but I didn't.
Pretty much have at this point.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. That's not at all true. I think it's an interesting question that I think a lot of just kind of casual and not casual fans would be curious about. Who do you think was the biggest, or like the college free agent signing in the past calendar year who has that highest ceiling? Is the guy that fans should be the most excited about and keeping an eye on?
It's probably defenseman Neil Pionk. Because this is a guy, he's the kind of the kind of prospect like you look back at in hindsight and you say, like, this guy should have been drafted. He put up tremendous numbers in the USHL. And I believe he was defenseman of the year in 2014-2015. You know, but teams were kind of – he's playing at a – you know, USHL isn't exactly highest level. It's not the CHL or it's not, you know, in Europe against men. And he was, you know, undersized at the time. But, you know, I always – whenever that comes up, like, the easiest thing for anyone to improve on, any athlete, is getting bigger. Like, you know, like, you can teach someone how to lift weight. You can't teach someone, you know, how to, you know, dangle through three guys or whatever. So I think the Rangers, you know, you look at a lot of college free agent signings, and usually, you know, they're guys that you're kind of just taking a flyer on because, like, you have the room for a sign, you have the room on the roster, and, you know, you might as well just take a chance. But with Pionk, I think it's a little bit more than that. I think the Rangers kind of, you know, landed a legitimate serious prospect. And you know, the Rangers, they're going to, they keep saying, you know, they want him to compete for a spot in training camp. We'll see. But long term, this is a guy who could become a legitimate second pairing defenseman who plays a two-wing game, who, you know, he doesn't have a monster shot or anything, but, you know, he's just kind of got, like, all the tools offensively. He can pass the puck. He can finish scoring chances. He reads play as well. So I think that's definitely, you know, the one guy that, you know, the Rangers really kind of, I don't want to say got away with because they had to put the work in and it was a legitimate signing. But the one guy that kind of, they were super fortunate, you know, was there for them for the taking at a time where they really needed that kind of prospect.
It's funny, too, because the Rangers really plied their trade in terms of, I guess, stocking the cupboard with prospects through the college game. You think about Hayes, you think about Visa, you think about Pionk right now as players that the Rangers have kind of focused on, because when they did not have a first-round draft pick for 4 years, it was really you're grabbing at straws because you're trying to get anything that you can in the system. And I think the Rangers have done a really good job. I think they've taken some interesting flyers, which we've Adam kind of talked about a little bit. Like Chappie is a really weird one. Guys who are on maybe the first or second story that Adam released, because it's in chronological order, of course. But the reality of the situation is this is something the Rangers have become very, very good at. And I'm sure Chris Drury has done nothing more than aid this process. And you can see some of the players that the Rangers are bringing in right now. And Kerfoot, we have to wait till when, Adam, for him to make a decision?
For Alex Kerfoot and Will Butcher, who are, you know, the two guys. Kerfoot's a devil center who played at Harvard, and Will Butcher, I believe it was University of Colorado, was a Colorado draft pick, the Avalanche draft pick. Both of them look to become, like, they're going to become free agents. And I believe the date that they can sign with any team is August 15th, I want to say, somewhere around in the next, you know, week or so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so in the case of Butcher, you know, I get a lot of point questions about, like, you know, why would the Rangers sign him? Like, look how many defensemen they have now. Like, that's not a need. Like, you know, so what? Like, if you have five TVs in your house and you don't need room for another one, but someone offers you a really nice TV, you know, for free, like, and you have room for it, like, why not take it? You know, you can store it in your garage or whatever, but, you know, there's a free asset out there. This is a guy who could become a legitimate top-pairing defenseman. You know, like, worry about it later. Just add the player for free. You know, it doesn't cost the team anything except, you know, James Dolan's money, which I don't think he's, you know, unhappy to spend on a player like that. You know, so, you know, add as many assets as you can. Worry about it later. In regards to Kerfoot, you know, I think that's someone, I don't think, like VC and Hayes, I don't think he's someone you can pencil in to a lineup spot, but I think you can sign him and you can say, look, like, here's Elias Anderson, here's Bunieves, like, you three duke it out for, you know, fourth line center, maybe third line center, you know, bottom six center spot. But again, like, just, you know, it's all of the prospects, if you really just like think about it, is just a lot like they're gambles, right? And so you're making bets, and the more chips you have, the more likely you are to succeed. So add as many as you can, and just, you know, worry later about how it works out and what you do with surpluses. So I think there's no reason the Rangers shouldn't be in the mix for both.
You brought up Nieves. I think he's a guy that a lot of Rangers fans are curious about, because we did get to see a little bit of him. And then, you know, he had the injuries and everything. And, you know, before that, you know, he's a second-round pick. And I think in your – it's one of the most interesting things about your prospect rankings is the amount of guys who are those college free agents or are, you know, mostly out of necessity because the Rangers traded so many firsts and seconds over the years. You know, I think after Keitel and Anderson – I think the highest pick, who's highest on your list, is Shestorkin, and, you know, he's a fourth. Mm. But, you know, Nieves is a guy who's, you know, he's not a kid anymore. I think, what is he, 23 now?
Yeah, he seems to be 24.
And, yeah, and this is, you kind of get the feeling that he's approaching that he kind of, it's kind of, it might seem unfair considering the injuries and the fact that, you know, he was playing college hockey and, you know, 2015-16, but it's kind of like, you know, it's time for the Rangers to see what, you know, what they spent a second round pick on. Do you feel that's about right, or do you think the organization should be a little more patient with him?
No, it sounds about right. And, you know, it's a bit frustrating watching him, because like, if you just took individual clips of him and then, or if you just kind of did drills,
yeah,
to evaluate him, you'd be like, this guy is like pretty special. Like, this is a guy who can skate really well. He's very strong. He passes the puck well. He defends well. But just like, for whatever reason, it just hasn't, you know, manifested into, you know, a complete hockey player yet. And I don't know if it's just he's had a bad stroke of luck with injuries. I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, the situation in Hartford was just not conducive to development. I don't know how much of it is mental. He definitely had some mental struggles when he was at University of Michigan, to the point that the Rangers sent Adam Graves out there to say to him, like, look, like, yeah, you're having a bad run of luck right now, but, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself and get it together. And he did start to get it together after that. So, you know, I don't know how much of it is that or what. You know, what's interesting is that I think for some players, they can go through a crisis of identity. You know, if you look at Brian Boyle. Now, Brian Boyle put up much better numbers in college and in the AHL, but he really struggled to find himself in Los Angeles. And then if you remember his first season with the Rangers way back when, he was pedestrian at best. You know, it took him a while to really find himself as a player and to take his tools and you know, combine them all into a polished product and find his role in what kind of player he would be in the NHL. So,
yeah, didn't the Kings play him as a D in one season or in the AHL or something?
They might have. I'm not sure. Like, he played some defense in high school and I think a bit in college also. But
yeah.
I think they really drafted Boyle to just like be this big, you know, like awesome power forward, you know, like top six center. And he just couldn't be that, and he kept trying to be that, and it just, you know, it was, he needed that change of scenery to the Rangers, where, you know, being 26 overall pick wasn't hanging over him. It was just, he's just another guy trying to win a spot in the NHL, and, you know, I think that, you know, in the change and whatever else, you know, was a big reason why he was able to find himself as a really good fourth line center in the NHL. If you look at a guy like Nieves, it's the same, you know, not quite the same, but a bit similar, where you say, this is a guy who has a lot of tools, you know, and he's shown us at times that he can use them very well. Why hasn't it come together yet? And, you know, maybe it never will. You know, sometimes that just kind of happens, but the good news for him, as I wrote, is that he could not be coming into a better situation in terms of, like, unless the Rangers do something that's off the board in the next, you know, month or so, like, there's going to be a center spot available for the taking, and his competition is an 18-year-old who's just drafted. You know, maybe the idea of moving JT Miller to center, which the Rangers don't want to do if they can help it. So, the good news for him is that he's not going to be buried. If he earns a job, he's going to earn a job. If he shows he can play the role, there's a role for him. So this is definitely, I think, the make or break year.
Well, to kind of build on the idea of like the second round pick, I specifically wanted to ask you, Joe, because I know you have some strong feelings about. I think he's a prospect that has gotten lost a lot for a lot of Rangers fans, which is Ryan Gropp, who the Rangers took in round two in 2015. He's coming off of his most productive year in the WHL, just had 84 points in 66 games, but I know that you in particular have, a strong opinion about him. And then I guess I'd love to hear what Adam thinks about Gropp.
Well, I'll go first. I am very down on Gropp as a prospect. If you just look at the statistics, he had a good year this year. First of all, I should be very clear. I'm a big believer in you can't blame a player for things that are out of their control. And one of the main reasons why I'm so upset with Gropp is because the Rangers left a lot of very, very good, rapidly falling prospects on the board to take him.
Yep.
So when you look at Gropp, he went from 58 points in his draft year to 70 points the next year. And then this year he had 84 points in 66 games, actually played basically 66 games in all of those. And then he had 19 points in 16 playoff games. Great. What this does not show you is two things. The first thing, when Gropp was removed from the New York Rangers training camp over the summer and he was sent to the AHL training camp, he lasted a day. One day. And they were like, okay, you can't be here anymore. You have to go to the WHL. Mm. And then until Matt Barzal, who is the Islanders prospect, who is a superstar in the WHL, came down and returned to Seattle, Gropp did nothing. And Adam, you may know more than me. I don't know the specifics. I feel like he definitely was not a point per game player. He might have been like a 0.5 point per game player.
See if I can pull it up, but I wrote about it in my rankings. But through the first half of the season, I compared to Ryan Hollig, and Ryan Hollig had better numbers.
That's not good.
Better numbers than Gropp did in the first half of the season at the same age. So it was definitely not encouraging at all.
You expect to see big jumps from these guys. You expect to see them make these adjustments because Gropp was taken. He was basically, I don't want to say projected, but he was sold to the fan base by the Rangers as like another Rick Nash. He has an NHL-ready shot, which I don't think anybody is taking away from him. He's a good skater. He's fast, and he can do a lot of great things. Wonderful. In his draft year, one of the things that the Rangers loved about him was the fact that despite playing with Barzal, his point-per-game metric went up when Barzal missed like half the season, I think, with an injury. So you look at those things and you think, okay, wow, this is a guy who can create his own offense. He can do whatever, whatever, whatever. And now you see him immediately get kicked out of camp at the AHL level, which is not a good sign. Go back. And also, there's a third thing I forgot about. He was like, as much as Philip Hytel, I think that's how I'm going with that, Mike, by the way. Hytel. We did the Keitel and Chytel and whatever, but then apparently Elite Prospects tells you how to say people's names, and it's like this really weird.
I still think it's Don Cheadle. That's what we're sticking with.
We're sticking with Don Cheadle. Like, I'm going to listen to it right now and see what it says so that I can try to get it, but Chytel, that's what it says. Philip Chytel.
You know what? We call him War Machine. That's what we do.
War Machine. Where Chytel was...
Don Cheadle played War Machine.
I think he was 10 days or 7 days away from being eligible for the next draft class and thus was the youngest, one of the youngest players in the draft that the Rangers took this year. Gropp was 1 day away from being in another draft class and was literally the oldest player in the draft when the Rangers selected him. So that last year where he did not impress at all was essentially an overage year for him in the WHL. You would expect him to absolutely blow the doors off the league. And even more so when Barzal came back and they could just dominate everybody, and that is not what happened. And Adam, I don't know if you sound like you're agreeing with me, which makes me feel like I'm saying something smart, but by all means, jump in.
No, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, he definitely picked up the goal scoring once Barzal returned, and it was really good numbers. But, I always look back and I talk to another scout about this. You know, Evgeny Grachev, was a top prospect for the Rangers. He played in the OHL. He put up dominant numbers, but he played on a line with
Matty
Cody
Duchene
Hodgson,
and Hodgson.
Now, like Hodgson's career in the NHL didn't exactly work out for various reasons, maybe injury, but there was a time where he was the best prospect in Canadian junior hockey, and then obviously Matt Duchene was taken third overall, I think, by the Avalanche. So, you know, kind of it was a fool's gold sort of situation where it's just like, this is a physical specimen. This guy's big. He's, you know, stronger than everyone else, and he's playing with two, you know, elite players. And then once he kind of got to that next level, it didn't add up for him. The physical tools weren't matched by a mental understanding of the game. And that's kind of my concern. With Grop is that this is a guy who he has a really good shot, he skates pretty well, but he can't really think the game. He needs that guy to set him up, which isn't the end of the world at the NHL level. Like, I think of a guy like Mike Knubel, who, you know, kind of always overachieved. Like, right. But like, this is a guy, like, he played with, you know, like Joe Thornton or like Claude Giroux. And he would score 20, 25 goals, you know, and like, was he a product of the player, his center? You know, largely yes. But like, look, he was put on a line to grind and to score 20, 25 goals, and that's what he did. You know, if that's what Grop becomes, if he needs a Kevin Hayes centering him to set him up with, you know, sick passes that he finishes, like, you know, fine. That's what it is. But I don't know if it's going to even get to that level. I spoke to one scout in Western Canada, thinks Grop is going to top out as an AHLer. We'll see on that, but I think it's very concerning with it, you know, to say like, look, like he needed arguably the best center in junior hockey on his line in order to put up the production you'd expect of him. So like, what's going to happen in the AHL where everyone is stronger and faster and whatever else? You know, is he going to be able to think the mental side of the game to continue to produce? You know, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm just not. It was a bad pick from the beginning. And Mike and I have talked about this before. I have a rule: if the first sentence of a scouting report involves the player's size or how much heart they have, no, you avoid those players like the plague. If you can't find anything better, like the first sentence is the first impression on a prospect for most people. Most people are not Adam. He watches thousands of hours of prospect stuff so he can do what he wants. But for people like me or Mike or whoever else out there who just kind of do what I would call like hobby viewing of prospects to gain information, the very first thing that you get is a prospect bio, or you try to come up with information about the guy. And if the very first selling point is, oh, he's big, that's a problem. It's exactly why the Rangers drafted McElrath. It's exactly why the Rangers drafted Grop. And ironically enough, both of those players have exploded in the Rangers' face. Now, Adam, I'm going to ask you. So, first of all, Heitzel, I think, played his first game today in Czech. I don't know if it's a regular season game or not, but he scored a goal. So, one goal for his first game. Mm-hmm. Played on the first line in our Czech Republic correspondent, Michael. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher his last name, but there's no way he listens to the podcast. So, Selakic informed me that he's going to do some write-ups on the banter for Treitel specifically, but said he played really well when he played on the first line, and obviously he scored the goal. So, for me, Heitel has become the most exciting prospect the Rangers have. Maybe not. I think Anderson is without a doubt the safest prospect the Rangers have at this point in terms of making the NHL. But I don't think anybody has a ceiling in the Rangers group as high as he does. And my question for you is going to be, which prospect are you most excited about, not necessarily like to make an impact on the Rangers, but most excited
right.
about in terms of ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah, let me just go back to Graf really quickly to just drop one final thought on that. And I would say
one final bomb.
If this was a player, if the Rangers had drafted Ryan Graf in the fifth rounds, we'd all be saying like, ooh, like, you know, this is, you know, maybe a dark horse prospect. Like, this is someone who could surprise, you know, it's an interesting pick and, you know, that could be a steal. You know, it's all about context with, you know, with players. And the disappointment is not, you know, the disappointment about him as a prospect is the fact that the Rangers, you know, traded up to get him and they moved Carl Hagelin to get the pick. And there were other players on the board that are really looking good now, but you know, he's not finished as a prospect by any means. But definitely hasn't worked out the way the Rangers want to. As for the most exciting prospect, yeah, I think that's an interesting discussion to have because I think we would all agree that, you know, Kevin Hayes is more exciting to watch than Derek Stepan is, despite the fact that Stepan is the better player. You know, I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, but that's I would imagine so. Like, Kevin Hayes is flashier and makes more exciting plays. You know, so I ranked Elias Anderson as the top prospect, but I don't think by any means is he, you know, kind of the most exciting, you know, to watch, maybe. If you were to build highlight reels, like, he wouldn't have the most exciting one. I'm really excited for Anthony DeAngelo in that respect. This is a guy who, you know, I'm not comparing ability, but I'm comparing style, and his style is very similar to prime Mike Green with the Capitals, where he just would fly up the ice and become the fourth forward and get involved in plays that defensemen weren't supposed to get involved in, really. You know, and obviously there's the negative aspect of that, which is, okay, well, like, what about the defense? And that's definitely a massive work in progress. But if he does work out, I think this will be the most exciting defenseman the Rangers have had since Brian Leetch.
Wow.
Because he really does have that just ability to really skate and carry the puck up the ice and has a big shot and moves the puck quickly and makes exciting plays. So, you know, that's a guy that if he works out, you know, I think that's a guy who can be the kind of game changer the Rangers need. So I would say definitely him. I really like Morgan Barron, who is the Rangers' sixth round pick. Well, one of their sixth round picks this year. And again, like, he's a massive project. He's a big body and, you know, he's kind of an awkward skater. But this is a guy who just, you know, bullies players. Like, he shields the puck really well, has a strong shot. When he has straight line speed going, he skates really well. You know, again, like, he was a sixth round pick for a reason. There's a lot of issues with his game that need to be worked out, but you know, this is a guy that he's going to be in college at Cornell for 4 years. And, you know, is it possible that at the end of that, he comes out the other side of that as just kind of this unicorn, who's, you know, just a big center who can, you know, make big plays? Like, I think, you know, not betting on it, but it's possible. And I think that's why the Rangers took him. So he's another guy that I think is going to be interesting to watch and see, can he become that kind of player?
Well, I guess
to build on the
point you raised about DeAngelo, I think, you know, we also talked early in the podcast in regards to Jágr. You know, there's still this idea, and I think it's kind of a unanimous idea among a lot of Rangers fans now that Nick Holden is going to be, you know, he's not going
to
be
fired
there.
Into the sun.
Yeah, it's. I wouldn't be surprised either way at this point, to be frank, but I trust in Gorton enough that he'll get something for him. And that definitely makes that question of, you know, I mean, what is it, Adam? A 3 or 4 horse race for that spot for between
yep.
Bear Glazov and Pionk and Day and
Pionk.
DeAngelo. I mean, it's in a
yep.
game of musical chairs. there's definitely, and there's so many, what makes it so interesting is all the factors involved, the Berglazov's exit clause for the KHL.
Yep.
What the Rangers gave up to get D'Angelo, that clearly carries weight. I was wondering who you guys feel will be there, because I think it's D'Angelo is a given. I think it's just it's his job to lose, even with what Adam said about him being so much of a project. But you know, he checks off a lot of the right boxes, including being a right-handed shot. But I don't know what to think of the other guys.
He also, just for the record, checks off a lot of the right boxes for the wrong reasons, if that makes sense. You never want to force a player into a role because of how he was acquired, but I would be absolutely dumbfounded if D'Angelo started the year in the AHL. Like Adam said, it's his position to lose, but part of that is because of the amount of skill he has. Part of that is because the Rangers traded Derek Stepan, and he's the only return that they have that could possibly jump onto the ice right now.
Yeah.
So he, and I was actually surprised, Adam, that not necessarily your glowing review of him, because D'Angelo, so off ice issues aside, when D'Angelo was traded to Arizona, Scott Wheeler, who we've talked about here before, he used to run the Maple Leafs website for SB Nation. He's another prospect connoisseur, referred to D'Angelo as the best puck moving prospect on the planet. And you don't get guys like that easily. So hopefully the off the ice stuff kind of works its way out of his system. He's 22 years old and he's been traded twice. So that should tell him something. He should realize that this is maybe his final chance, and hopefully that does what it needs to do to get him in the right area. But outside of him, Sean Day is a player that Adam has talked about having, and again, these are not direct comparisons, but Victor Hedman-like ceiling, a guy who can move the puck, score points, do what he has to do. And he was a guy I wasn't really thinking of in terms of, I think the Rangers have three players in Hytel, D'Angelo, and Day who could legitimately become explosive, game-breaking talent. Now, that's not, necessarily to say that they will. These guys are lottery tickets. You're scratching a lottery ticket. The more lottery tickets you have, the more of a chance you're going to have to hit a jackpot. But those are three guys who I think really have an opportunity to even change the way that this franchise is going. Guys who can grab the steering wheel and kind of move the rudder in a different direction. Now, with all that being said, Elias Anderson is the most polished prospect the Rangers have in their system. And he really is going to make a push to be in the NHL this year. And right now he's at top of the Rangers prospect list from Adam. That's not a mistake. It's just his ceiling is a top six player, but he's far more likely to become an NHL player. Whereas maybe D'Angelo doesn't really fit in that mold because he's already played in the NHL, but with Hytel and Day, there are obviously much bigger risks to actually getting to the NHL. But if they do, and if they hit their ceiling and all the cylinders are firing, they have much better outcomes. There's a lot more to be excited about these days than there were. Not to say that Buchnevich wasn't worth being exciting about, but him and Shea were all the Rangers had. And now there's really more players who are out there who can make a difference and can really kind of help the Rangers farm move in the right direction. And I think the most exciting part about all of this, Shea, Miller, Hayes, Buchnevich, to a lesser extent VC, are not considered prospects because they're in the NHL, but these guys are 23 years old or younger. Miller may be 24. I actually don't know, but it's not like the Rangers are an old, they're not an old team. These guys just aren't prospects anymore because they've graduated to the NHL level. So to have that offset what's becoming a much more dense farm system, you have to give the Rangers a lot of credit because they did not have a lot of help to get to this point in the first place. So I rambled so long that I don't even remember why I jumped in or what we were talking about.
I was talking about the kid playing D.
Well, whatever.
And you ruined it.
Adam, I'm going to ask you another question. Do you think Anderson makes the NHL this year?
I think the NHL, I think the Rangers are going to give him the 9-game trial. and how that works for anyone who doesn't know. They did this with Anthony Duclair a few years ago, is that you can play a guy, I believe it's up to 9 NHL games before their contract counts. And what that means is, if, let's say, Elias Andersson plays 3 games with the Rangers and they send him back to Sweden afterwards, the first year of his entry-level contract does not count. So he would, again, so an entry-level contract is 3 years. He would, going into next year, still be signed for 3 years. Once he plays that 10th game, the first year the contract counts, no matter what. So he would officially have only 2 more years on his contract afterwards. So I think the Rangers are going to, I think they will say, let's take a look at him. I think he's in the opening night roster, opening night lineup even. And I think they'll say, let's use, 9 games to evaluate him and see if he's ready. And if he's not,
I know,
maybe, yeah.
I know the 9 game rule affects junior players, and there's some type of a loophole, because I feel like, Drouin played more than 9 games. He played 20 games or something.
Yeah, you might be right, actually.
I don't know what, but 9 games is the norm, but there's some type of a loophole that allows it to be more than that. But just to further clarify,
well,
what Adam
is saying, you can play more than 9 games. It's just
no,
that
but to
the
have
contract
the contract
count
even
if you send him. Oh, really?
Yeah, Drouin played like 21 games and his contract slid. I don't remember why. There are a couple of players who did that. Sprong might have done that for Pittsburgh most recently. I'm going to have to look it up and see. But what Adam's talking about, just to clarify, every single player who gets drafted has to sign an entry-level contract. You don't have a choice. It's a 3-year deal, and like the dollar figures are maxed out based on, I guess, where you're picked and whatnot. And it's not like Buchnevich can sign his ECL and make $3 million a year. I think right now it's $925 million. $925,000. So entry-level contract can slide, whereas like the Rangers signed Andersson and Hytel. If neither of them play in the NHL this year, if they're under the threshold that they have to be on, that contract just moves over to the next year. So the Rangers still have 3 years of player or team control of the player. Now, Adam's not wrong. There is a 9-game rule for juniors, but there is some type of a loophole that we should probably know about, but we don't. So too goddamn bad. But I agree with you, Adam. I did not think the Rangers were going to move forward with Andersson even as a viable option. But being it's August 10th, and Desjardins is currently the only guy who could possibly play a bottom 6 center role without any type of inconveniencing, and I mean moving Miller to center or potentially bringing up a guy like Bunieves, who I think we can all agree is not ready at all. They're giving Andersson this opportunity. They really are, and I don't know if he's going to take it. I don't know if it's even a smart thing for him to take. If you could guarantee him a third line center role where AV's not jerking him up and down and taking away line mates and moving him to the fourth line and sitting him in the press box and playing him 5 minutes a night, I think a third line role would fit him pretty well. He can kind of learn the defensive side of things on the NHL game. We talked last week, Adam, but a lot of his goals come around the net. He's a dirty goal scorer for the most part. So him not having space that you get on a European ice is not going to be as detrimental when he moves his game to the NHL. But that also helps on the defensive side too, because there's less space for other guys to work with. So if you can guarantee me that out of him, I think next year would be a really good development year for him. The problem is that when given those opportunities, Vigneault always makes the wrong decisions. I don't know if I necessarily trust putting the Rangers' current top prospect in that situation. So, Mike, you haven't spoken in a while. Yep. What are your thoughts on all this? Unless Adam wants to say things that are smart.
No, say things, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, if he spends a month in the NHL, 6 weeks, even 2 months, and they decide, all right, like this was too soon, is that going to ruin him? No, I don't think so. I think, at worst, it would be a good learning experience and, whatever else, he'd be familiar with the team and be more prepared next season. when I think he would almost certainly make the team. But, you know, teams have come into trouble in the past, you know, like the Sabres did with Mikhail Grigorenko. They kind of did the same, you know, thing with him where they, you know, they were worried about the 9-game limit and they ended up, you know, playing him. I don't know the exact numbers, but they played him like 8 games in the first, like, 2.5, 3 months. And, you know, at that point, yeah, like, that's a problem. He needs to be playing games. So I think that is a bit of a concern, but I think the Rangers are hyper aware of it. And so I think they're going to be very careful. They're going to look at him in training camp. They're going to look at him in preseason. And I think he will get the 9 games, to just get a look at him, because they've done that with worse players, with bigger projects, with less upside. You know, like, remember Ryan Malone, they effectively did the same kind of thing. The consequences and what was at stake wasn't the same, but like, this was a guy that they had no idea what he was going to look like after being out of the league for a year and being aging and whatever else. And they said like, all right, well, let's give him a month or two first. So I think they're going to look at it and say, yeah, like, unless they make a move in the next month or so, or unless Buniev is really just kind of really wins the spot in training camp and preseason, I think they're going to say, yeah, like, let's just take a chance here and see what he looks like for a month or so. And then, you know, move him to Sweden afterwards if he's not ready, or, you know, that's his spot. And if he is ready.
Peter Nedved.
Oh, Nedved.
I don't know. We've been just saying a lot of obscure Rangers. Like, Ryan Malone was not a guy that I expected to get mentioned either. So I just wanted to add my own. And my selection was Peter Nedved.
Oh,
go ahead, Mike. You have a real point.
Bringing up something useful with the ELC, or as you were calling it, the ECL.
Well, it's not the way that this podcast works.
Sounds like something you could spring in your knee. I also think it'll be Anderson there, but I'm also pretty sure we're going to see the training camp invites. And I would really be shocked if Winnick doesn't get something from someone.
Yum.
And if he's still available, the Rangers would be stupid to not at least invite him to
yep.
camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last season, I know we saw, what was it? There is, I mean, Gerby signed, but his contract was voided when he went overseas, but LaPierre was there in training camp. I feel like there was one or two more, but I can't remember. But even with all of that forward depth, the Rangers still, you know, opened the doors up to guys who could compete for spots. And I think because of this battle and this situation, I'm sure that the answer that will feel good is to give it to Nieves or Anderson or both of them. But you have to imagine we're going to see a pretty intense battle at camp, and that
yep.
the organization really is going to want to have these kids have to measure up to some veterans or some guys who, you know, they've been in the league. They know how to make it a roster. They know what it takes. And that's going to be tough for, you know, an 18-year-old kid. And it's also going to be tough for a guy like Nieves. But I think that battle, it's really, I think that there's three big questions for every Rangers fan is the, you know, I think the least important of which is, oh God, why was it Pavlik replacing Ranta? And then there's the real questions, which I think are so interesting, which is the center depth question, and specifically what's going to go on in that bottom six, and then what happens with that third defensive pair. And we already kind of have a really good idea of all the suitors and competitors for that defensive spot, but or that third pair, I should say. But I still think there might be, you know, an unforeseen factor or two for this forward group, even this late in free agency. I just can't imagine that the Rangers, you know, and Gorton and Vigneault with all their contacts, and, you know, we saw it with, you know, Vigneault being familiar with LaPierre of all people, but I would have to imagine they're going to look to a guy who can come in and at least add some heat in that training camp, you know, to
sure.
put some pressure on these kids to really earn this and not just be handed this.
Aaron Voros.
No.
Wow. Aaron Voros.
And The reason I thought of him was because he came back. I was going to say that Mike was talking about PTOs. Glenn Sather was the king of, come talk to me about you wanting to play in the NHL again. And I remember in 2011, Boros begging Glenn Sather to give him a PTO, and they did in the with the Connecticut Whale at the time, and he flamed out. Do you remember the season with Rennie where he had like 8 goals the first 8 games, and everybody thought that he was going to be like the next great thing? And then, those were good times. Actually, those weren't good times. They were dark times.
I think, and the thing I keep trying to impress upon people is that the Rangers don't need to have all the answers on opening night. If they did, that would be great. But, if we've learned one thing the last 2 years, it's that this is a marathon, not a sprint. I don't think this is a team that, unless Lundqvist really falls on his face or something else, like, I don't think this is a team that's worrying about making the playoffs. I think if, let's say, Anderson doesn't work out and Yeavis doesn't work out and whatever else, like, I think at worst, they can tread water until, something opens up either in the winter, maybe on the waiver wire, guys are always dropping there, or, the trading deadline. And look, last year was kind of a tough trading deadline year for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons was that this past summer's draft was so weak that teams weren't, they kind of figured like, look, like we might as well go for it because there's nothing worth, tanking for right now. This year, there are guys who could be taken 10th overall who would have been the top overall pick this year. There's just that much talent. It's absolutely loaded this draft. So there are going to be teams that drop out quickly. They're going to decide like, all right, like let's cut our losses. Like let's get a top draft pick so we can get one of these franchise players. And what that means is there are going to be teams that are looking to offload talent at the trade deadline or sooner. So I think, whether it's on defense or whether it's at center, I think they're going to have options if presented to them later in the season. So I think as long as the Rangers have their roster figured out by March 1st, let's say, I think that's the kind of the date where you're saying, all right, that's where we need to, have everything together. But before then, I don't think there's a problem with the Rangers kind of experimenting with things and trying new players and then whatever else and kind of just seeing how everything kind of plays out.
The Rangers are in a much better place today than they were, a month ago in a lot of ways, not just getting Shattenkirk and having Zibanejad locked up and just kind of going through the whole, just going through the whole what's going on the NHL level, but also some of the things that they did in the prospect side of things. And it really is important because eventually some of these players need to graduate to the AHL level. And the Rangers AHL affiliate has been absolute crap for a really long time. We've talked about it at length, but there are consequences to a situation like that are almost unseen, but they exist. So I think the Rangers going in this direction is good. I have a funny feeling they're going to try to hoard some draft picks this coming year. Holwig needs to be traded at some point. We don't know what's going on with Mark Stahl.
Holwig.
God, I'm just thinking of – we have talked so many obscure Rangers.
We got to trade Jed Ortmeier this year, guys. It's time.
Jed Ortmeier. I was thinking in my head of who the most obscure Ranger of like recent memory I could name, and I think Voros may actually win. I don't know if I could think of another like from the post lockout 2000.
Patrick Rissmiller.
I don't think he ever actually played a game with the team.
Really?
There you go, Mike. There it is.
Really great because they signed him to a 3-year deal, and then they're like, "Oh,
that.
Wait, he sucks." Yeah, he played 2 games with the Rangers.
Oh, he played 2 games, folks.
Look at Mike. Mike just thinks he knows everything, doesn't he?
A little bit of an idiot.
Thinks he's better than the rest of us.
I'm better than some of you.
You're not. You're not. You're absolutely not.
Only really Joe, though. But
you son of a bitch.
The Rangers really signed Riss Miller for 2 years, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, it was at least 2 years.
That hurts. That hurts my brain.
Christian Backman?
Ooh.
Yeah, 3 years. Three-year deal.
I think that's a good one.
I like that one, Joe.
Yeah, Christian Backman. Do you remember him? He was just, oh, God.
Yeah, he sucked.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh,
now
this
I'm looking,
is a fun
now,
thing I can mention really quick is, you know, former New York Rangers defenseman and Islanders defenseman Tomas Poeck, the Austrian defenseman. He's the new coach of the Boston Pride in the NWHL.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which means with Chad Wiseman, sure, there are two former Rangers coaching professional women's hockey.
Alexander Daigle played for the Rangers? Really?
Daigle.
I didn't know that.
Alexander Daigle, yeah.
Not Daigle, Joe. Daigle? Where were you raised?
That's a good question.
That was the worst attempt at pronouncing a French name I think I've ever heard.
Are you ready for this, Adam? Hold on, Joe.
Yeah.
Number 91 on the Dallas Stars. What's his name?
Brad Richards.
Yeah, Brad Richards.
No, you know who. He used to be in Boston. It's
Tyler Seguin?
S-E-G-U-I-N. How do you say it? Yeah, say that name again.
Oh,
Seguin.
Oh, yeah, Joe can't say it to
like
save his
penguin
life. Yeah, he says
I
it like Penguin. And it's so adorable to me. Tyler Seguin? Seguin-ling?
This is who I am. This is what I am. I'm
I love
here. Get used to it. Now I'm using the Elite Prospect tool of, like, it says players' names.
Yeah.
Sagan. Oh, that's him saying it. Wow, that's interesting. God, the Bruins traded him? My God. That's another holy crap moment.
Dougie Hamilton, Blake Wheeler, Sagan.
Kessel.
I mean, the Bruins. Whew.
Are no bueno with the trados. Mm-mm-mm.
When you think of the best guys who the Rangers have let walk, I mean, in terms of guys who that were actually hometown guys, not guys like the Yandels of the world, but who is at the top of the list other than Talbot? I mean, Talbot is obviously is what he is.
Anisimov.
Yeah, Doobie, Artie, but those are not like.
I mean, like you can go way back and say Mark Savard, but.
Yeah, you could.
What are we talking about? I spaced out for a minute, and now I'm very confused.
No, like the best former Rangers who are in the league, because we mentioned all the guys that Boston has watched walk, and we talked so much about prospects. I thought it was interesting to think of. There hasn't been guys who kind of got away from the Rangers, and I'm sure that's both a good and a bad thing, but. It's definitely interesting. I think it's probably after Talbot, and he was an undrafted free agent signing. It's probably Artie or Doobie, but I would probably take Artie.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I wouldn't take Doobie at his current contract, so.
No. I wouldn't. I don't love Art Anisimov. I mean, there's Hagelin, too. I guess we forgot him, but.
But Hagelin. I don't know. I don't know if I would put Hagelin in. Well, I guess I would have to put him in that category. And that's not a knock on Hagelin, but Hagelin is very much a system player. Like, he didn't work in Anaheim really at all, but Pittsburgh, because you could probably put a jar of mayonnaise with Sidney Crosby and have it score 20 goals a year. There's just a lot of benefits with that type of a 1-2 punch down the middle. But, yeah, I see your point. And then inevitably, when Lundqvist gets traded and wins the Stanley Cup, we'll be able to add him to the list, too. So
why would you say that? Why would you say that?
Because you've already ruined the podcast.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true. You've ruined the podcast. The podcast is totally ruined. See? No one's even speaking because that's how much the podcast is ruined.
You remember
Adam,
Ivan Baranka?
Thank you for joining us.
What?
I said, do you guys remember Ivan Baranka?
Yes.
I don't.
I have his autograph. Do not ask me why.
Wow.
Fedor Fedorov?
Ooh, I remember Fedorov because I got excited about him.
I think I just won the stupidest obscure reason. Ranger.
That's pretty
really
good.
Do.
I like that, that one,
is,
Joe.
That
I don't think
really,
I can top that one.
That is a
That's
really
a
good
pull.
One.
Fedorov.
Three games with the Rangers. Fedorov. What an amazing name. Why? I don't, and not, I don't say this to be rude, but my God, did the apple far in terms of hockey skill on that one. I
yeah,
have no idea how his brother can be one of the greatest players to play, and he's like a washout, not even close.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like how Connor is amazing and like kind of sucks. I don't know. Something like that.
Oh, whoa, that was a great – that was. I was not expecting that. I didn't even know you knew Connor existed as a human, but there you go. Connor is
– today is Connor's birthday, so I'm going to let it slide.
Is it really his birthday?
Yeah, his birthday today. Good.
All right, I'm going out on a high note. I don't think anyone's beating Fedorov, so that is my –
I'm actually upset. Adam hurt my feelings, everyone.
Adam hurt Mike, guys. Adam
hurt me bad. I want that back. Tired of this shit.
He played in how many NHL games? 18 of them, 3 of them with the Rangers. What a glorious 3 games. All right. Thank you, Adam, for joining us. You hurt Mike. You will be punished somehow.
I'm hurt really bad.
He's
if anyone
bad.
Is still listening right now, I don't know what they are doing, but they should.
No,
take
they're not.
Choices.
You can't. After the first 45 minutes, it goes to what we refer to as the
no,
Tony
but I mean,
time.
No, I mean, like, in theory, like, to a hypothetical person that is listening to the podcast the next day or whenever else, and, like, is
oh,
still,
yeah, people
like,
listen to this
has not
way
closed
through.
Out of the, like, has not, like, finished their commute or whatever and is still listening to this, like, I don't know why they would bother. Like,
I hope.
Why would you do this to yourself?
Whoever you
because
are,
they,
I hope you're having a great day.
Yeah, I hope you're having a great day, too. Enjoy your moment, whatever it is. Because they love us, Adam, that's why. Because we provide hard-hitting analysis about Fedorov that you're not going to get on other Rangers podcasts. That's exactly why. Anywho, Adam Z. Herman, if you go to Twitter, and you can find him on Blue Shirt Banter sporadically, although when he promises you he's going to write something, like there's a gestational period of like 5 weeks before it actually gets produced.
Let me tell you, like in all seriousness, like I this next year, and it's partially just because I have the time, and it's partially because the Rangers prospect pool is better and whatever else. But I'm already organizing my folders of video and whatever else. Like this year, prospect coverage is going to be the best by far. It'll blow every other year out of the water. We got a lot of good stuff on the website this upcoming year.
There you go.
So
get excited
for a reason, ladies and gentlemen, for this exact moment.
So Adam is not afraid to compliment himself and build himself up, but he needs to drag me down.
He took Mike down.
I just kind of, say like kind of just like evaluate as things are. You know,
ladies and gentlemen, Adam doesn't like hot dogs.
You're not making it any better. You don't actually not like hot dogs.
If I am hungry and like that is what is being offered, I will eat a hot dog and it will be fine. But
you
I will not ever actively, I will never actively pursue a hot dog.
You're a goddamn option. Communist is what you are.
That's ridiculous. That's un-American.
I would rather be a communist than a hot dog.
All right. You've now ruined the podcast. You've tainted it. I can't, I'm not doing this. Mike is at Mike Murphy. Or no, it's not at Mike Murphy. Dig Deep BSB. Yeah. Mike Murphy is his name. He's also the lead women's hockey writer at FanRag Sports, so you can support him over there as well. As we said before, patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. You can go give us money, and then we use that money to add microphones and stuff so that we sound really sexy on the air. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Adam, for coming on. Good night, New York, or wherever you're listening, maybe Sweden.
Good night, everybody. Be good to yourself. Goodbye.